Good morning. It is Sunday, December 6, 2015, and I'm Pastor Mark Dilley of West Valley Grace Fellowship in Surprise, Arizona. I pray the message this morning will be used to strengthen and encourage you in your walk with our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles with me this morning to begin with to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin with verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Gospels and the book of Acts and Romans, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, we're going to begin with. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may be able to boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we again this morning bow before you, acknowledging you as our God and our Redeemer, acknowledging your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the true Savior, the only Savior, and that believing in Him, that He died for our sins, is the marvelous gospel of the grace of God. And so, Heavenly Father, it is by faith that we come to you this morning, trusting in the truth of your word, to teach us that you might be glorified, and that we would boast in you, that we would glory in you. And so we thank you for that. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our time here this morning. Glorify yourself. And we give you all the praise and the thanks forever and ever. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to just begin this morning with focusing in on verse 30. We've been preaching on this passage of Scripture for a couple of weeks. And in verse 30 it says, it is because of Him, because of God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is going to, he has been, he's going to again talk about the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of man. Where is the wise man? All of these questions. And then he's going to point out that none of it compares to the wisdom of God. It's meaningless. And that's why he concludes with, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. In regards to our righteousness, that's referring to our salvation. In regards to our holiness, that's concerning our sanctification, our walk with him. And in regards to our redemption, that's going to deal with the ultimate redemption of our bodies when we will be with Him for all eternity. We've already been redeemed by the blood of Christ. But our redemption is not complete yet. One day we will have bodies fashioned after His glorious body for all eternity. What a marvelous hope, anticipation, eager anticipation should fill every one of us with that thought. And so as we go on, I'd like to go back to what we talked about last week first. We discussed some of the marvelous benefits for the believer declared in the gospel of the grace of God. As Dennis made a minor reference to in his little talk here, as he was studying the Bible, and I encourage anybody, if you read the Bible, there are different gospels in the Bible. And most people today, I'm sad to say, are spending a lot of times and focused on a gospel that is not the gospel for today. It's the gospel that's related to Israel and the promises that God has made to them. But in the gospel for today, the gospel of the grace of God, it has some marvelous declarations for us. And as we talked about last week, the first one I mentioned is in the gospel of God's grace, every believer in Christ is saved solely and entirely by the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of salvation is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And whoever believes that, and by believing that I mean trusts that, puts everything, all their marbles in one basket, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on behalf of their sinfulness. And that's, by the grace of God, a wonderful place to be. And that's where it has to begin. Before we worry about how do we live and what's going to happen and all those other things, I can guarantee you one thing that's going to happen one day. God is going to separate the redeemed from the unredeemed. And in that day, all the redeemed will be with Him forever. All the unredeemed, all those that have never believed the gospel of the grace of God, all those that have never believed whichever gospel was in effect at any given time, all of those people will be separated from God forever. And that's what must be resolved. And as I speak today, I'm talking to believers that are enjoying the merits of the gospel of the grace of God. And so that's what has to be resolved first. In the gospel of the grace of God, every believer in Christ has been baptized by one Spirit into one body, the body of Christ. That's a message that was never known, never talked about any place else in the Bible, but in the gospel of the grace of God. In the gospel of God's grace, every believer in Christ is sealed onto the day of redemption. That's what makes grace so wonderful to us. That's what makes our salvation and all that it brought us so wonderful, that God has sealed it, guaranteeing the redemption of those who have trusted Christ and Him alone as their Savior. In the gospel of the grace of God, every believer in Christ will be spared from the wrath of God. And God has a wrath. You know, today the focus is so much on the love of God, and that's not bad. But it oftentimes the fact that God also has a wrath, we don't want to talk about. That's not the God I have, a God of love. He would never have wrath. But the Bible is our source for truth. It is truth. And the Bible teaches clearly that there is a day coming, and we'll hit it again in the message when we get there. There's a day coming when the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world and on the inhabitants of this world. And so it's important to recognize that. But for us, by the grace of God, not because we're any better than anybody else or we deserve anything above anybody else, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we will be spared the wrath of God. And then finally here, in the gospel of God's grace, every believer in Christ is guaranteed to be with Him forever. And so now, how did this happen? How did we get there, so to speak? Well, first, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, there in Paul's gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, Paul talks about a baptism that the vast majority of Bible believers are ignorant of. It's just amazing. And yet, For those of us that understand the gospel, the grace of God, this is our baptism. And Paul says, there's one faith, one hope, one baptism. And here it is, right here in the Scriptures. Having been baptized into Christ, we have become identified with Christ for all eternities as members of His body. And so let's go there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. I didn't have this in my notes, so I hope I have it right. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Verse 13 says, for we, Paul's writing to believers at Corinth, for we have all been baptized, or for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And that's the one baptism for today. Now, most people today, when you hear the word baptism, a certain mental image comes in their mind. And they see people in white robes or something out by the creek or down by the lake or up in some baptismal place getting dunked in the water. Because that's what is so commonly practiced today. That has nothing whatsoever to do with this baptism, whereby when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God immerses us or places us, identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our faith comes in. We believe that we've been inextricably united to Him for all eternity. And so in Galatians 3:26, let's turn there. All these passages are on your paper, so you can read them right off the paper if you'd like to. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. And this is an important thing. You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In the King James Version, it says, you're all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But in either case, you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I don't want to ever give the impression when I'm talking that I'm talking to everybody all the time as believers. Only you know. Only you believe. And so I can't speak for anybody else except myself. I know whom I have believed. And I am confident that He is able to keep that which I've committed or entrusted to Him for my salvation. I pray that you can say that too. Each one of you can say, Jesus Christ is my hope. That's who I trust in and nothing else, believing that He died for my sins. And so in Galatians here it says, you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ. Now again, when you hear that word baptized, for us, we shouldn't think of water. We should think of that moment when we trusted Christ and the Spirit of God placed us into Christ. It's a little more abstract because you can't see that. You don't experience it. But it is a reality. It's as real as we're here today. It's as real as this is. But we don't experience it. It's just the truth, the declaration of God. And so all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's that identification again. We are enveloped in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as members of His body. And therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it eliminates all racial, ethnic, any type of distinction between people. There is no real need to call anybody a Jewish Christian today or a messianic believer or anything like that. You're either a believer in Jesus Christ and a member of His body, and there is no difference. We're all one in Christ. When there's an accident, out here in Arizona particularly with hazardous materials. They all come in their hazmat suits and everything and all protected so that they can't be infected by the contaminants. As members of the church, the body of Christ, we have the greatest decontamination suit possible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can penetrate that envelope that surrounds us in grace. And so, in the spiritual realm, every believer in Christ is secure and protected in the person of Christ. And therefore, Romans 8:1 tells us, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. All of our sins have been paid for with the blood of Christ. And that's why we trust in Him and Him alone. All the sins of the past, all the sins of the future have been paid for with the blood of Christ. That eliminates one of the things that so many people really are trusting in today. Every night before I go to sleep, they say, not me, but they say, every night before I go to bed, I kneel down by my bed and confess all the sins I've done this day. And then I probably have a little disclaimer, if there be any I forgot, Lord, I confess those also. But that's not to believe the Scriptures. The Scripture says He's already forgiven us all of our trespasses. There is no need today for us to confess our sins in a desire to remain in a right relationship with God. Our right relationship is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so when I do sin, I think it's important as the Spirit of God convinces me of my sin, convicts me of my sin, that I'm willing to say, yes, Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me, or I'd still be guilty before you. But I believe He did pay for it all. And so, Lord, thank you for that and change me. Work in me to will and to do of your good pleasure so that I might not sin against you, that you would strengthen me and empower me to live according to your will and purpose. And so our identification with Jesus Christ has great ramifications for us. We should understand these blessings and truly appreciate their significance. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I think the translators, and by the way, like Dennis mentioned, a lot of people believe in a lot of different gospels. He didn't mention that, but he talked about the different gospel, two different gospels. A lot of people believe in different gospels, and the translators wanted to help us. And so they added there those words, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The he is not in the manuscripts. They added that to help our understanding. And I think they actually added something that might confuse our understanding a little bit. I think what Paul is saying here, that if anyone is in Christ, what the Scriptures say, a new creature, a new creation, that new creation isn't referring to the man that's in Christ, it's referring to the creation that's made by all those that are in Christ called the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, the old has passed away. And that's what we're going to focus on in a minute. All the things that we were before God in our natural selves, in our standing in Adam, have been done away with in Christ. And all the new things, it said, behold, the old things are passed away, the new has come. All the new things are the riches of God's grace showered upon us, having been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And so we need to start to change our thinking so we're not focused on the old man and all that we were. Like, I can't help but believe when I see Ron here and he knows my past and everything else, I was a different person then. I lived a different way. But now I'm a different person in Christ, and He's worked in me to change my behaviors. It didn't make me any better. Apart from Christ, I'm still a condemned sinner, all of that, but I'll never be in that position again by His grace. And so how thankful I am for that. But I'm no better than anybody else. What I have on my account is the righteousness of Christ. My salvation depends on that and that alone. And so every believer in Christ died with Christ at Calvary. That we need to really understand what that's saying. Let's look at Romans 6, 3 through 7. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. And again, these are all on your paper, I think. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus... Now remember, how did we get baptized into Christ Jesus? By faith. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God baptized us into Christ Jesus. And so now Paul is saying that all of those who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Our identification with Christ causes us to die with Christ at Calvary. All that I was in Adam, my old man, has been crucified at Calvary. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, we were therefore buried with Him. More of our identification in Christ. Through baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. All of that is part of the idea that we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and now, even though we're not dead physically, we now live a new life in Christ. And then going on to verse 5. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. And I think that's talking about not only in this life, but in the life to come. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, for we know that our old self, our old man, all that we were in Adam, was crucified with Him. So that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. As far as God is concerned, our old man, all that we were before we trusted Christ, all that we were in Adam, has been done away with, and from His perspective, and we realize it now, all that we did in Adam is forgiven and forgotten. What a marvelous deliverance that should be for every believer in Christ. They say that one of the hardest things for people to do is to forgive themselves for the things that they've done in their past. Well, when we find out that God has forgiven them and forgotten them, it should bring us to a place that we may still be ashamed of them, but we know that they're forgiven. Now, if we've done something in our past that still needs to be made right, to still needs to be corrected, if there's any way we can do that, I think we have a responsibility to take care of that as the Spirit leads us. But to know that all of the horrific things or whatever you've done has been forgiven by God and everything we'll ever do. And this is what blows people's minds. They can't grasp it. The pride of man feels that it's not fair, it's not right for God to just sweep it all away. Well, He didn't sweep it all away without paying for it. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in His body on that cross. And for every person that believes that, He paid that price for my sin. What's really difficult for people to embrace, but as you grow in grace, as you grow in your understanding of the gospel of salvation, you see yourself more and more as unfit and undone apart from Christ. The more that I look at my life, Not that my life as a believer has been perfect at all, because it certainly hasn't been. But the more that I look back at what was considered successes in my life before Christ, I consider it all dung now, like Paul did his religious resume. You know, we get so caught up. I watched a football game last night, Iowa and Michigan State, and it was a tremendous football game. And I felt sorry for both teams. You know, that whichever one was going to lose, they played a tremendous game, and yet somebody loses and somebody wins, and one team's elated and the other one is really down the dumps, and then they're the Big Ten champions. And I, in my athletic past, have received various awards and recognitions and everything else, and now I actually look at them with almost embarrassment, because I did it all totally for self-glorification, for recognition, for all of those things. Not that I did anything really bad in that endeavor, but it was all for self. And like we read early on, let he that boasts, boast in the Lord. And so as I look back at my life, and people that don't understand these truths to whatever depth I understand them, they look at me and say, "Ah, you're being too hard on yourself or something." No, I'm just being honest. Anything done apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, anything done apart than for the glory of God, is sin. And that's hard to deal with. There's so many people in the world today, if they've never trusted Jesus Christ, if they're doing all kinds of good works, it's nothing. It has no value whatsoever before God. It's only for those that are in Christ. It's only for those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and are doing these works in the power of the Spirit of God that will receive a reward and recognition. The rest will be wood, hay, and stubble and burned up at the judgment seat of Christ when the believer's works are examined. There will be nothing in my life prior to Christ that will ever be recognized for a reward. And so that's difficult to understand, but that's the hard truth of the gospel. And yet for those of us that have trusted Christ, it's reason to rejoice and to be thankful. And so every believer in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:20, we'll skip 3:3, that's a nice simple one, for you died. Every believer in Jesus Christ died at the cross from all that they were in Adam. Now, point two, every believer in Christ has been made alive in Christ. So God takes every one of us, says, "I'm crucifying you with Christ, and now I'm giving you a new life in Christ." And He becomes our life. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, and we just shown that, we believe that we will also live with Him. This is all part of our identification with Christ. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so now we are alive to God. Glenn was just talking to me this morning about the fact that when he shares the gospel and talks about things with other people, they don't want to admit, that they aren't aware of it, that they're an enemy of God. Oh, that's not right. I haven't really stood up against God. I go to church. I do this. I give a lot of stuff. I do all this. The Bible teaches that if you have not put your faith in Christ, if you've not been justified, declared righteous by God, you're His enemy. It's that simple. It's like the old saying, if you're not for us, you're against us. Or if you're not one of us, you're not part of us. All of that. God makes it so plain in His Word that no matter how good we want to be, we've all sinned and fallen short And there's none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short. And so we were enemies of God, even though we may not have believed it or ever thought it, until by the grace of God, the Spirit of God convicted us of our sinful condition in Adam, of how horrifically we have offended God. Until you come to understand that, you have no reason to be saved, and you have no reason to think that you have any problem. But the Bible makes it clear that until we come to Christ and put our trust in Him, we're His enemy. And so that's tough to buy. But now, Ephesians 2:4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And then Colossians 3:3b means the second half of verse 3. Colossians 3:3. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. There's another declaration of our security in Christ. That if you're in Christ, you will appear with Him in glory. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by... And here's another little translation issue. In the NIV, it says, I live by faith in the Son of God. Well, it's by faith in the Son of God we're saved. But here, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the fidelity, the faithfulness, the fact that Christ is the one who keeps me saved. He's the one that has secured me with His blood. He's the one that makes intercession for me. He's my advocate before the Father. And by His faithfulness, the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so I trust that He is my advocate, even yet today. And then due to time, I think we'll skip some of the rest of these. Let's go down to turn your page over. Here are some contrasts to what you are in Adam, what you are before you were saved, and what you are after you're saved, or what you are when you have been identified with Christ. In Adam, and we'll go through this rather quickly, in Adam, all die. So in Christ, every person that puts their faith in Christ, all will be made alive. In Adam, in number two, in Adam, remember that at that time when you were in Adam, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. That passage, that verse of Scripture, is to me the most terrifying verse in all of Scripture. To think that anybody that's outside of Christ, and this answers the question, what about the aborigine that's never heard the word? Or what about some person, some place that's never heard the gospel? This says their condition. And only God can redeem them. But if they're not in Christ, they are separate from Christ. And they're without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, and that's what the Apostle Paul does in the very next verse, Ephesians 2:13. In Christ Jesus. Again, that's what's so important. It's not about me. It's where I am. And I am in Christ Jesus. Why? Because I believe He died for my sins. And so it's got nothing to do with me being better than anybody or doing good works or changing my life around or anything like that. It's because I've trusted Christ, and therefore I've been baptized into Christ, and therefore I am in Christ Jesus. You have been brought near through the blood of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, anyone that has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ unites himself with the Lord. Unites himself with the Lord, who is one with him in spirit. And then verse 3:20, my citizenship is in heaven. That's a wonderful thought. I'm no longer earthbound. I was bound to earth by being in Adam. My life was changed, and when I trusted Christ, my citizenship changed to become a heavenly citizen. And what a marvelous truth that is. 1 Thessalonians 2:16, he gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. I'm no longer without hope. Now, I didn't think I was without hope before, but I was just ignorant. I didn't know any of these things at that time. I didn't know. I used to think I had a relationship with God. In fact, we used to work things out all the time together. I remember if I wanted something to really happen, I could throw really well, and I'd pick up a rock and say, if I can throw this rock over that tree, then it's going to happen the way I want it to. Okay, God? And I'd wind up and crank it, and it'd land in the tree. And I said, well, 2 out of 3, God, because I know I can do it. So I'd pick up another rock and get it over the tree, and the next rock and get it over the tree, and I'm okay now. That's not biblical. But a lot of people live their lives like that. I talk to people continuously, and they say, well, I believe this. And you say, well, where can you find it in the Scriptures? I don't know. I don't read the Scriptures. I just believe. Well, they're throwing rocks over trees. They're trying to set up some arrangement that will make it happen before God. And it doesn't work that way. It works according to truth. And His Word is truth. And so how I've tried to do all these things in my own religion first. And the sad thing is, it doesn't work. In Adam, you were dead in your transgressions. This is number 3. In Adam, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It says it 3 different times in Paul's writings about that. You were dead in your sins. Now, you were alive. You're walking around. You're thinking. You've been taught. You've seen things. You've experienced things. And what happens usually is you form your own religion. And you say, here's what I believe, but can you support what you believe with what this word says? Now, a lot of people say, well, this word was just written by men. Well, that's not what this word says. It was penned by men as the Holy Spirit moved them along to record it. It says all Scripture is God-breathed or inspired of God and is profitable. Now, if you choose to say, well, I don't want to believe the Bible, I don't want anything to do with the Bible. I want to believe my way. What is that? If you really come down to what that is, it's pride. It's saying that I don't want, if God gave us any revelation at all, and the Bible declares that that's the revelation, you're saying, I don't need any of that. Here's what I believe. And that's just our nature. I was that way until the Spirit of God convinced me of the truth of this word. Okay, in Christ, here I am dead in my sins and everything. In Christ, His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sin. In Adam again, verse number 4, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Now, Paul's talking specifically here to the Corinthians. But all of us, if we've been involved in any church endeavor or any religious endeavor that is contrary to the truth of this word, it's like being led away by idols. It's not the truth. And I lived most of my life, not most of it because I'm getting really old now. I used to be able to say that 20 years ago. But now, it's not most of my life, but I lived the first 33 years of my life under religion. And when I trusted Christ through time, He pointed out to me through His Word that a lot of the stuff that I had been deeply invested in was not the truth of Scripture. That's what we have to come to grips with. And that's threatening. To me, it was extremely threatening because the religion that I was involved with taught that if you leave us, you're condemned. There's no hope for you if you leave us. Well, I had that from birth for 33 years. And when I first went to a church that would preach something like this, I was fearful that the pew was going to open up and I was going to drop straight into hell. And that was real to me. That's how invested we can get in these things. How thankful I am for the truth of God's Word. Now I know that I can go any place on this earth, here's what's going to shock you, especially if you don't understand grace. I can do anything I want to do. And nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The wonderful thing is, His Spirit's worked in me, so I don't want to do a lot of the things that I lived for and I loved before. That's how wonderful it is to be in Christ. And then, in Adam, we were by nature the objects of wrath. That's the sad truth. Colossians 3:6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In Romans 2:5, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. Now, those are pretty threatening statements also. Now, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's what God's Word says. So now if God's Word says that, how are you going to avoid that wrath? Are you going to say, well, here's what I think. I think that if I go out and give a lot of money to religious organizations, if I do a lot of things for the poor, if I do a lot of things for the homeless or something, that's going to avert that wrath or redirect it some other direction. That doesn't change your situation. Now, not that those things I mentioned were necessarily wrong. We'll skip the first one, give to religious organizations. That could be wrong depending upon who you give it to. But the other ones, giving to the poor and helping the homeless and taking care of widows and all kinds of things are wonderful works. And they're profitable, but not to get out of wrath. It's the outworking because you've been delivered from wrath. It's the outworking because you have been delivered from the wrath to come, and you're with thanksgiving and thankfulness and with the abundance that God has blessed you with, you desire to share it with others. And we do it out of love, not out of self-preservation or self-protection or anything like that. And so in Christ, in this one, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. That's the only way to be delivered. It's coming, I can guarantee you. I keep wondering, how long can the United States continue to go on? How long can that debt keep on going up? And the Congress must believe, as long as we keep raising the debt ceiling, it can go on forever. But I don't think it's going to work that way. And we may face a tremendous calamity in this country. But I know one thing, it won't be nearly anything compared to when God pours out His wrath on unbelievers and on this world. And that's what the Bible teaches. And so Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. As a member of the church, the body of Christ, having my sins forgiven, God has no desire to even, God has no desire to punish the wicked. But His righteousness requires it. But we are no longer in that group, and God has not appointed us to suffer His wrath. And then the rest of these, time's getting away, and you can look the rest of these over at your own. But the one thing I'd like to say today, that if there's anybody here that's never really trusted Christ, never really given up all their religious resume, given up all their good works, but recognize that they have sinned and are separated from God. If you don't believe that, you just don't believe it. That's fine too. I'm nobody's judge. But I'm telling you, like Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, he persuades men. Now, Paul wasn't fearful of the terror of the Lord because he is the one that wrote all these things that he has in Christ. But he knows the terror of the Lord for those who are not believers. And that caused him to tremble. It caused him to shed tears. And we too, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to be sensitive to those that haven't. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we need to persuade them. Now, we don't have the power to convince them, but we need to passionately tell them that Jesus Christ is your only hope. And that's what Paul wants us to know. Having believed that, we as believers in Christ should be living testimonies of that gospel, living testimonies of that grace, that we aren't tossed to and fro by all the uneasiness, all the unpredictability of this present world. But instead, we can stand firm and stable in our faith in Jesus Christ, knowing the riches of God's grace for us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're overwhelmed with the truth of your word, and we are so thankful that you have made that known to us. Lord, we admit our sinfulness, but we rejoice in the cross of Christ. We rejoice that he who knew no sin died in our place, bearing our iniquities, bearing our sin in his body on that cross. And that your justice and your righteousness was satisfied through the punishment of your holy Son, so that we, by grace through faith, could be redeemed, and then to have the confidence that your word gives us for all eternity. And so we praise you and thank you for all that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.